Hey guys, it's the time to spend the ring with the greatest faction in podcast history, Jazz Freak Wrestling, the JFW podcast, hosted by Travis Duke.
And I am Nubby, the amazing. Sorry, technical difficulties. Just kidding. I was trying my Tom impression.
I thought you're going for Chet.
Close enough. Well, I probably would have had the Tom part right if I wasn't sick. So, you end up getting checked. I am the Rocket Pro Wrestling co-general manager, the only general manager that matters, Nubby the Amazing Turtle.
I saw the post that Damian Saint put up. I didn't watch the video or whatever the hell was attached to it, but I did see the part where he says, like, Turtle shouldn't be co-GMs. What is that about?
He's just being Damian Saint, doing Saint things. I saw the video. It's just, you know, him hit me with his game, you know.
Oh, gotcha. If you guys noticed, Pac-Man is not here. He's out enjoying WWE Raw, Monday Night Raw. So hope he's having a good time. He sent us a picture of him pointing at the WrestleMania sign with his with the LIM championship, so hope you're having fun, buddy. We'll see you back. Saturday, actually, you and Pac-Man will be joining me and Dizzle J covering WrestleMania, Hall of Fame, and all that stuff. I think we agreed we're not doing a show next Monday.
Right. We're going to do the shit on Saturday, and if any independent shit pops up, maybe we'll talk about it, but
yeah,
a lot of stuff ain't happening WrestleMania week. Or weekend, so why do a show on Monday?
Exactly. So so all four of us will be together, which will actually be the first time in JFW history where we're all together, not only on a podcast, but actually physically. So we'll cover that this Saturday. We'll get that released for you guys so you can enjoy listening to it before, you know, the kickoff of not only WrestleMania, but also I think Stand and Deliver NXT caused their pay-per-view for that. And then we'll get back together with Pac-Man and talk about independent wrestling the following Monday, which I believe is Rocket Pro Wrestling match card.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Be good. Yeah. Yeah. It should be, I think, it's weird because it seems like RPW put together a really great, I mean, all their cards are fantastic, but this almost seems like a season finale match card, and it's not because you guys got one more month, but you and Damian Gray are crushing it, you know?
You might as well say Damian Gray, because I don't want to say the other.
Oh, did I say Damian Gray? My bad.
Yeah.
Damian Saint. I heard stuff happen at IPW, so I got Gray on my mind. But we'll cover IPW. We're going to cover Mr. Bill Classic. Before we dive into any of that, though, I remind you that this episode is brought to you by CarterComics.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your comic needs, whether it be graded or raw. Carter Comics has got them all. All you got to do is go to CarterComics.com, fill your card up with all their amazing comics. At checkout, use the discount code FREAKNET, FREAKNET. You'll save 10% on your entire order. If you buy more than one comic at a time, they do have a multi-purchase discount. We'll save you an additional 10%. On top of that, your entire order will be shipped to you absolutely free. And these are discount codes, and these are discounts, which means you can use them on more than one purchase. It's over and over and over again. And not just at their homepage, but also at their eBay account, and the link to their eBay account can be found on their homepage at CarterComics.com. There is a point, usually at the beginning of the show, we will talk a little bit about the fourth mother box and some of the stuff that, you know, they typically say or, you know, lack thereof when it comes to Kyle. which I guess I really got to be careful saying that now since everything has kind of changed. But I didn't listen to the most recent fourth mother box, but it's because we were on the most recent Fourth Mother Box.
I did listen to it, even though I was not.
Yeah, it was fun.
And then that's why I pulled the little joke with the intro.
Right.
Shit happened.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, like, where I know deep down Tom felt bad about it and everything, but, you know, technical difficulty shit happens all the time in podcasting. I remember interviewing a person once, and we got through the entire recording, and it all just went away. You know, lost the entire thing, so me and Joe had to record an entire show to make up for, which sucked. It was a really good interview with a fellow podcaster up in Canada. And, oh, there was one time we talked about conspiracy theories on this freaking show, and that entire recording got lost, too. So it happens, but the point is we had nearly 2 hours of fun over on the Fourth Mother Box that ultimately ended with the Fourth Mother Box now being part of Freaknet Studios.
Yeah.
So it's exciting times for Freaknet Studios. Obviously, you know, starting out with just 2 podcasts and then joining up with 1 podcast, another podcast, and then ultimately getting rid of that other podcast and creating a podcast, and ultimately that podcast not working out and that one going away. And then we got the Power Hour, and now we got Fourth Mother Box, and, you know, there's rumored of another podcast coming on. Just got to wait to get that all figured out and see, you know, what happens with that. But it was a lot of fun on the Fourth Mother Box. I think I talked way more than I should have. I felt like I kind of took over the show. I think that's just, you know, over a decade of hosting shows becomes a habit at times. But it was a lot of fun to talk with Tom and Kyle. I guess repeat myself about my lack of love for Star Wars. But it was good. Make sure you guys check out the Fourth Mother Box, now part of Freaknet Studios. Check them out. I listen to them on Spotify, Nubby, I'm guessing iTunes.
Yep.
Check them out on. Yep. If you want to find them on YouTube, if you go to the Freaknet Studios YouTube channel, which I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently it is, and I love the fact that I can do it. If you go to the Freaknet Studios YouTube channel and you scroll to the bottom of our homepage, there's a featured channels list where you can find Just Freaking Wrestling or the GFW Podcast, Fourth Mother Box, and the Power Hour all listed right there for you. So subscribe to everyone. Listen to everyone. It's a great time. Speaking of Power Hour, I'm on it this week, which I think is the first time in probably a year or so that I had a chance to be on it. So I guess I will podcast with Pac-Man this week, yeah, after all. So
he'll be doing the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you did mention that there was something you wanted to talk about. Did you want to talk about that at the end of the show, or you want to talk about that at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's up to you, man. It's whatever you want to do, buddy.
Well, I guess we could go into it now. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I figured, you know, after listening last week, I'll give someone else a chance to, you know, go off on tangents.
Yeah, I got you. I get it. If you think I'm going to go off on a tangent.
I read the comments, man, and trust me, I go off on a tangent about it too, because it wasn't creative in any way.
He's not creative.
No, but tell everyone the story, and you're going to have to give credit to the workhorses in a way too, unfortunately.
Yeah, but at least it was the listener to the show, so I have no problem putting him over. And he just commented to on another post, but we can go to that later. Yeah. It's fine.
Hey, you know what? Once I did bump into Evans at the Mr. Bill Classic, and he did admit that he does listen to the show.
Oh,
yeah. So I think now we got 2/3 of the workhorses who are fans of Just Freaking Wrestling.
Yeah,
yeah. I saw
the other ones have time apparently. So.
Yeah, I saw Judas Chavez also at the Mr. Bill Classic. He acknowledged me, so.
Saw Josh Moon as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, I'll say it now. Same thing I said when I left the bar Saturday. It's, you know, sometimes it's rough being fucking famous. I don't know what to tell you.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, people have to acknowledge you and say hi. At least they're respectful enough to say hi from afar instead of fucking weirdos like Chet, who I've told flat out never to fucking talk to me again. And, of course, he has to come up to me at the wrestling show and fucking talk to me again. It's like, yep. take a hint, buddy. We're not friends. I don't want to talk with you. And then Nani with her friend who, I don't know if he was there to try to intimidate me, which it didn't work because I'm now up to, 22 members of the Travis team. I think I beat out the LIM now, which granted it doesn't count because it's not a rocket pro, but hey, you know, whatever. Live your best life.
I mean, that was the first time you met her.
That's true.
And you still didn't meet her.
Nah, you know, she never came up and actually probably introduced herself. She just said, you! And I'm like, hey, stranger. No. I did see her in the crowd. I looked out and I was like, hey, I think I know that person. I had to have seen her somewhere. And she kept staring up at me. I'm like, oh, God, crazy fan. Yeah. But anyways, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you. There was a post on Facebook and there were unnecessary, rude, unclever comments, and let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, let's do that. So, ARW, that we, you know, we cover them, and they posted a match that it will be Wade Evans versus JPH. Now, I saw the post, and I made a comment on it, because this is what I do sometimes, you know, it's just something I like doing. And I go...
As podcasters of independent wrestling, we need to be able to voice our opinions on wrestling. That's what we do. I read your comment. I think it was solid. It was clever. So people need to understand that. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
It wasn't totally rude. I mean,
no. What you said now wasn't rude. It was logical. You know, when you have to sit there and question, you know, God, which bad guy do I want to hate more? It's justifiable. Right. It's justifiable.
And that's what's going to happen. There's going to be two bad guys going at it one-on-one.
Mm, yeah.
It doesn't always happen, but it's going to happen now.
Rarely does, yeah.
So I go, I don't know who I dislike the most here. Pretty solid.
Yeah. Now you've had time since you posted that. Did you narrow it down to which one yet?
Not yet.
It's got to be Evans, right? It's got to be Evans.
I don't know, because JPH doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, but he never jumped me, so.
True.
I would have to go with Evans. I don't know. JPH does have an ego on him, which, I mean, Evans does too. See, it's like really like, you know, like, it's like, you know, which jelly bean you'll put on what scale, and I'd have to go with Evans just because he, you know, he jumped me. I mean, granted, thank God he listens to the podcast, but he still beat me up. Still wasn't nice.
How about this? Pac-Man, I know he'll listen to the show. So, Pac-Man, write this down. Remind me to tell you who I dislike the most the next time we are on podcast.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to ask him to choose, and you know you don't get an either-or answer from him. He'll go into his long thing like, well, you know, when I pinned Damian Gray, you know. So. Anyway. So you commented that you're not sure which one you like you like the least, or you don't like the most, or whatever we want.
Now here, it's Wade Evans versus JPH.
Yes.
Now you would expect one or the other to comment.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was not the case. It was Donovan Marcellus, formerly Ruiz.
Yeah, he said, no idea who that is.
He's a rookie.
I know you talk about him, but when I clicked on his picture to look at him, it's like, I don't know who this fucking dude is. He looks like every other, like, you know, 17, 18-year-old kid who comes into the business. It's just like, okay, cool, here's another one.
He signed a contract at that show that you were at.
Wait, that's the young kid?
Uh-huh.
At the Black and Blue, the one that everyone loved?
Yeah.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it, I knew that was going to happen. Fuck that kid. Idiot.
So his response, of all people to respond to a post that has nothing to do with him, he says, cool it, fat neck.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I have a fat neck. I get it. I mean, I'm fat. I have a neck. It happens.
But the thing is, though, it's like you have a neck that's built for a professional wrestler who went to school who worked on their neck stretches and shit, you know? It's thick necks that prevented Kurt Angle from severely paralyzing himself throughout his career. Brock Lesnar. See, it's like, so yeah, his insult means nothing.
It's a stupid insult.
Anyway. It's a stupid, it was unclever. Fat neck, like, come on now. Like, Jesus.
So, I responded, are you even old enough to have Facebook, kid?
Clever. I call him a kid. Perfect insult. Yeah. Solid. Love it.
And then our buddy, or I would say our buddy, but a listener to the show, Mikey Peterson. And he quoted something that Donovan Marcellus said before. If you're a worker and you comment on other workers' posts, you belong in the crowd, not in the ring.
Is that what he said before? Yeah. That Donovan kid?
Yeah.
Just to be clear, he was a fan about, what, a year ago?
Uh-huh. Cool. So. Yeah. Only a year in, kid.
Yeah.
And then he goes, did I strike a nerve when I said that to you that... Wait. Did I strike a nerve when I said that, you loser? Get a life and maybe a gym membership too, buddy. So, another fat joke.
It's not clever. No.
And then he says about me to Mr. Peterson, guy's not a worker. He's a podcaster who cosplays as an overweight turtle.
So another fat joke. Which, I'm sorry, Nubby, what came first, the wrestling or the podcast?
I believe the wrestler.
Right, you think like 18 years of wrestling and then 2 years of wrestling podcasting, but okay, cool. Okay, solid. Crushed. Okay. Yeah. But another fat joke. Other. Lame. Yeah. Very, very little effort. Fat turtle? What the fuck's wrong with them? Aren't all turtles big in a sense anyways?
Yeah. They have fat shells.
Right? Yeah, it's mostly shell anyways. What the hell is he now?
Yeah. He's an idiot.
Jagoff.
So then, Mr. Peterson, I'll give him the respect since he did say something. No, it's not. No, it's just funny seeing how big of a hypocrite you are. And as much as we hate the Amazing Turtle, I won't say the actual name that he used, at least he's over, fact, and gets organic reaction, fact. Mm-hmm. I know it's easy to think you're the shit when people are singing praises in your ear, but brother, you ain't even a fart. I love that comment. You're not even a fart.
I was wondering if he was thinking of a different word or if he truly meant to put fart.
Well, that's clever. That's more than what Donovan came up with.
It made me laugh out loud. I literally LOL'd. I was like, fart. Nice.
That was clever, Peterson.
I like it.
I won't boo you as much next time I see you.
Yeah.
So, I came back, and I think I put the icing on the cake. Not a worker. Please, little brat. May not be a superstar, but boy, I've done a lot more than you. Almost 20 years of blood, sweat, and tears. I'm also over as hell with the crowd. Hell, I get bigger reaction from the same crowd that boos you, and I just sit there eating hot dogs. It's what I do.
That's true.
Please continue with the fat shaming, though. That was outplayed after the first time you said it. And I roasted you right after. I did. And then hashtag baby gap shopper. And he didn't say a damn thing after that.
Well, it's because, you know, he just realized that he only had, like, you know, 3 disappointing fat jokes and he couldn't come up with a 4th one. But you're not wrong, dude. Hell, you were fired from Rocket Pro Wrestling, came in as a fan, and got more chance than fucking most people did. Just by sitting in the audience.
I did.
That dude got cheered, what, because he was shoved down everyone's throat as being this young, up-and-coming kid? Big fucking deal.
He went up against Chavez. Everyone hated him. It's easy.
Yeah.
But well, now people are starting to like him more than him. So, I mean...
I'm respecting Chavez more for his ringing ability. He is getting better. Some of his promos are getting a lot better. But even Chavez has to work on his fucking insults. I mean, I think the last time he tried to insult me, he told me to choke a cock or some goofy shit. I don't know, but you know, that's the thing. Like, kids don't have creative comebacks nowadays. They don't. They don't, because they don't go through fucking struggles of, people trying to prove, like, their toughness to everyone. Like, it's a soft fucking world now, so everyone, like, gets together and hugs each other and shit. It's like, no, like, nobody ever had to, like, be creative with their comebacks when somebody else came at them and shit. Fuck that kid.
And it's crazy because all I have to do is walk out there and get noticed. Yep. His claim to fame after a year is kicking Greg Glover in the nuts. If someday ARW brings me in, I would love to face this kid and teach him a little lesson. I don't care who he was trained by. None of that matters to me. I was trained by the same kind of people. So, When you stop shopping at Baby Gap, come talk to me.
Right. I mean, like, technically, if you did wrestle him, would that be child abuse?
You'd have to
sign a waiver, yeah. But hey, man, you can live the dream of most people in their late 30s and early 40s. You get an opportunity to beat up a teenager. And we all think it sometimes, but again, ARW, book fucking Nubby. Get Turtle in the ring. I'll fuck some worlds up.
I'll fuck his world up.
Yeah, he's available. ARW and RPW don't really run on the same times.
Just this upcoming month, but...
But that's WrestleMania. Yeah, that's the WrestleMania stuff, you know, but... Hell, you know what? Fucking May's right around the corner. I don't think they have the same date, so fuck it.
It should work. I'm good for May.
Yeah. Come on, Joy Boom Boom. Do some shit. Book Turtles. Yeah. You had a Battle Royal ARW once, right? So you were booked there at least once before, yeah, so... Yeah, get him back, you know? And also, I don't like the fact that he wants to take credit for the growth of the crowd at ARW. Like, that's just an insult to everyone else on the fucking card.
The crowd was there before him.
Yeah, for him to say, like, oh, you know, ARW only had 300 people, and since I came around, it was now 500. Like, you think you drew in 200 fucking people? No.
There were more people. I'm pretty sure there were more people at the show that he wasn't at.
Yeah.
So... Go fuck yourself, dude. You're nothing special. You're just as special as the kid who needed Twitter to get over. And that's his only claim to fame. Yeah, he might be in NWA right now, but he needed Twitter to get over. No one talks about him in NWA, though.
Well, what he did was dumb. It was not clever. And, do better.
As Kyle would say. Mother Box.
Yeah, do better. But
make
hey, you know
me
what?
Care,
right? We he got us talking about him, you know. So he's in the right direction, you know.
And then just a recent one. It just happened. I commented on a post that he was in. Yeah. He'll be taking on Josh Moon, and someone posted, "Hope Josh shuts the loud mouth up." And I go, I second this. And then his comeback was, in your dreams.
In your dreams. Ooh. 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 Fuck that. I don't know. I'm going to press him. Fuck him, Nubby. Fuck him. And I mean that as like an adjective, not a verb. Don't really have intercourse with him.
No, he's
yeah.
not my type.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about IPW. That happened this past weekend. I didn't, unfortunately did not make it. Fucking Mr. Bill Classic took a lot out of me, and I slept. It was fun. It was wonderful. But talk to me about IPW because it sounds like a show I definitely regret not making it to.
Yeah, and these notes came from JFW's own Pac-Man. As he was taking notes while he was there. Good job.
Thanks, Pex.
I just hope you didn't gobble-gool it. Love you, gobble-gool.
God. Yeah. Thanks, Tony.
All right, so it was IPW Champions Collision. The show started out with a 10-bell salute to Big Jack John Burke, who recently just passed away. He was big name in pro championship wrestling and many other companies such as Anarchy. And I believe Fire Pro.
I don't recognize the name. It's always unfortunate. Did you know him at all? Or?
I've met him a few times, had a conversation or two, didn't really get to know him as a person, but he seemed like a good guy, and sounds like he touched a lot of hearts. So, much like Mr. Bill, you know, it's a big name to everybody, and a big, you know, nice guy. Helped a lot of people out.
So, RIP to him. I'm glad IPW did that then, you know.
Yeah. All right. So we had the state of the IPW address with the league champion, Damian Gray. What a snooze fest, let me tell you.
Well, what did he really have to say? Like,
Honestly, I was not paying attention whatsoever to him.
I don't think probably many people were.
I mean, Michael Allen, the ring announcer, was about to announce the first match, and, you know, Gray just happens to go out there and crash the party with his address. I don't know. But it was immediately interrupted by Corey McHenry, who won the medallion tournament last month. And challenged him to a match. And the challenge was accepted, so they would wrestle later on in the show.
Okay.
So the first match was the alternative championship was Miles Mercer, who was the champion. He forgot the belt.
I saw that note.
So someone brought out an actual belt. I'm in the back, you know, working, you know, on my shit, and I hear someone needs a belt, and I'm like, what? The referee forget their belt or something? But then I found out Miles Mercer forgot the championship.
Now, why didn't Pac-Man offer up the LIM title?
That's a good question, Pac-Man. Why didn't you offer up the LIM title?
I'll have to ask him tomorrow that. I mean, that would have been a perfect opportunity to be like, here, borrow my 160 ounces of plastic.
But then it would have to be a different kind of match.
That's true. It would. Because would they technically call it the alternative title?
Yeah. So, Miles took on Rob Stardom and got the win. I believe is what we have here. Well, let's see. So Miles Mercer allegedly pulled the bald Rob Stardom's hair. Extremely back and forth match. Best match I've seen at IPW. Miles retains the alternative title.
Yeah.
Wait. I have to say it exactly how he put it. Yeah. Miles retains the alternative to the alternative championship.
I love how, like, first off, like, this, I appreciate that Pac-Man got us these notes. As I appreciate anyone who gets us notes from anywhere, I appreciate it. But this dude's more detailed in his notes he sent to us than he is when he actually talks about the match when he covers it here with us. It's like, dude, if you had this, it'd be perfect. But he would just be like, so Mercer put the title on the line against Rob Stardom, and Mercer picked up the win. Next we have, you know, it's just like solid detail, but it's kind of like all over the place too. But I appreciate he got us the notes, just like I appreciate anyone else who gets us notes from anywhere else. Thank you, guys.
All right, next match. Well, it was the Battle of the Shuffle. What can I say? It was me and Russell. But at the beginning, before we started any dancing, I did notice that the big leagues were there.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly Jake from State Farm was there. Yes, I made that reference. Russell didn't like it.
He's funny. He comes out with khakis, man. You gotta.
Well, so did Russell. So both, they were both doing it. So because of that, I needed someone in my corner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I brought out Brittany K.
That's kind of a pot stirring situation there, isn't it, that Nubby?
It is, and I admitted that I was going to stir the pot by doing that.
Yeah. She bring her dog with?
No.
Oh, God, that would have been funny.
She didn't even bring the chain. She didn't bring the chain this time.
Oh, man.
The dog was babysitting the chain.
Perfect. So how'd your shuffle compare to Russell's?
Well, Russell tripped. So there were two rounds, and both rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the first round, he tripped doing one thing. I mimicked the exact dance he did, but I didn't trip. Now, normally, I would fall. It's something I do, apparently. Just ask the poor Thunderbot box.
We've seen the photos. We saw the kick at the Steam Hollow. Rest in peace, Steam Hollow.
Yep.
Got it.
So, first round, it was toss-up.
Mm-hmm.
Second round happened. We did more. Russell did more shuffling. And then he flipped me off as he was doing it, but I guess that was because I flipped him off too. But that's fine. And then he tried to do a springboard. And he fell off the rope.
You gotta find the video and share it. We gotta see that.
The only video I've seen so far was by somebody you don't like.
Chet?
Yes.
Fuck that guy. Idiot.
So, I did my shuffle. I pulled an Alex Wright. I did a little disco for Disco Ray because he was the special guest judge. And then I did the worm.
Yes.
I did not trip, nor did I fall.
How'd the worm look?
So, when I first got down, it kind of looked like I fell, but I hit the mat the wrong way. But the worm was solid.
Solid.
Not as the best as I've ever done before, but that's because I'm a roly-poly at times. It happens.
You got called the caterpillar like Otis.
That's what it looked like, actually. So I Otis that shit. So then, a Disco Ray, special guest judge, asked the crowd who won. Who they think they won. And it was unanimous. Sure. I won. Disco Ray raised my hand. I was going to go to the back and eat pizza. It was just going to be a shuffle. Why not? Yeah. Thought I was done for today. But Russell, he spared me as I turned around. And demanded a match right then and there.
After he speared you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds like a Russell thing to do.
So Disco Ray called for the bell. And then he became a referee, and Rian allowed it. He rang the bell. So a match happened, and Russell went for the pin, and 1-2, and pulls me up. He probably would have won, but we won't know. And he beat me up for most of it. I fought back. But in the end, he tried. He had to try to get Mike to distract me. When I was going for the shell shock, I knocked him down. Unfortunately, after that, Russell got me, did his move. I kicked out at the very last second. And then when he was going to go for another spear, Brittany got up to the, you know, canvas. I don't know why. She just wanted a closer look. I don't know. And Russell got distracted. I mean, eye for an eye, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I saw the opportunity. I played a little possum, if you will. I let him run at me, and then I turned, and he hit his head on my shell. And then it was shell shock into the kick, and 1-2-3, I win.
Yeah. You gotta do that, I don't know what you call it, but where, like, you steamroll over somebody three times.
if I would have got to that, I probably would have. But things happen. Russell was beating me up a bit.
Yeah.
Just he didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little cocky. So I taught him a lesson. And all Brittany did was offset what Mike tried to do. But she didn't get involved, really. She just got up on the apron. Russell chose to get distracted. Ooh. It's like I got distracted, too.
Yeah, I mean, she has every right to be out there, you know. Maybe if she wants to get a closer look, let her get a closer look. Russell can't fault her for that. That's on Russell. You know, you gotta keep your eye on the fucking prize.
Yep. So I won, and now I am undefeated against everybody in the big leagues. Me and Quinn got the win over the Bro Bros, and there we go.
Thank you,
Quinn. And I gotta blow my nose, so I'm gonna go on pause for a second.
Yeah, sure, there you go. Yeah, so we're still on video, so you can watch him fucking, shooting that fucking snot into it. I mean, you think he'd get completely out of the screen, but it's fine. You know, this is what play-by-play is all about.
They're doing it live, pal.
Fucking doing it live.
It happens, you know.
Mother Nature, fine.
Mother Nature got me this week.
Dude. Well, you know, it's the Midwest, man, and we get to enjoy all four seasons within a week of itself, so right now we're enjoying spring. We'll be back to winter tomorrow.
Perfect. Enough about me. So the Workhorses came out to make a challenge to a match answered by Kid Lat.
Who's the current Trios champions?
That'll be the Big Leagues.
The Big Leagues, that's right. They wanted the Steel Cage show.
Yeah, where Steve fucked up.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about you, Steve.
You fucked up. What did they say? Stay in pocket.
Stay in pocket. Just stay in facts.
Stay in pocket. Just stay in the pocket. Stay in the pocket.
So, Wade Evans would wrestle Kid Lat. Rockin' Rivera pushes Kid Lat off the top rope. Wade Evans wins via distraction. Rockin' asks for a rematch for next month. Rian grants the rematch for next month, says Rockin' won't get another match unless he beats Lat. So if he doesn't beat Lat, he cannot wrestle in IPW.
Oh, if he has confidence to beat him, you know, yeah, you gotta accept that opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, they've been having a big feud of it, I believe, Frontline? Or Wrestle League, one of the two. They got something going on up there, so.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing it down to IPW now.
Yeah,
it's what hatred does to you.
Yeah, just everyone's all connecting and shit now.
Yeah.
Fuck,
it's kind of nice.
Yeah, man, I'm still waiting for Bro Bros to show up at Rocket Pro, man.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
I won't give anything away, but as co-GM, the only general manager that matters, the Bro Bros are on my list for next season.
Right, they're in consideration, and that's great. You know, regardless of their attitude, depending on where they're at, huge fan of the Bro Bros. I like their thing. Fucking, they're entertaining to me.
They are, it's not like a consideration list. There is that kind of list, but there's a list of that I am planning on bringing in. Like,
yeah.
I have a pecking order, if you will, and they're there. It's going to go up. So next season. Because this GM cares.
Yeah, that's right. You want to bring in new and exciting and different fucking stuff.
I like to mix it up.
You got to mix it up, you know? And I get that people love seeing, like the same guys that, like, they, you know, like a Christian Rose or a Brooks Berna, the guy holding the briefcase, Gunner Brave, Max was right. Like, people love seeing the OGs of Rocket Pro Wrestling. But every once in a while, you got to bring and different. Because it's not like the old days where you're going to see the same match card 5-6 times in like 3 weeks. You know, people want to get different things. They want to bring in more challenges, you know. And once the final level runs through everyone at Rockport Wrestling, you got to find those different guys. And I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, the Bro Bros could definitely beat the final level, but I think they could give them a little bit of a run for their money. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen what they did against Dysfunction, so.
Yeah, you know, and they're champions up in Frontline. I guess they're part of the trio champions for IPW titles at Wrestle League. So, yeah, I mean, they've proven that they can be champions and they can hold that high honor, you know. I mean, fucking, I guess, I guess people know, like, you know, Shogun has a history with Wrestle League. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the trainers.
Yes, you know, like, to have, you know, some of his trainees prove what they're capable of against him. I mean, fuck, yeah.
I mean, we've seen that plenty of times, so.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And like I said, I want to build that tag division. And that's my goal.
Yeah.
Bro Bros are going to be part of that goal.
That's one of the two things that I want to see flourish in every company, tag wrestling and women's wrestling. There needs to be more women's wrestling out there and run, you know, in the Midwest. You know, outside of CSW, Dreamwave, and a few times at SCW, I mean, there needs to be more. I would love for ARW to get their women's division back going. You know, I'd love to see more at IPW. I would love for Rocket Pro to keep an open mind on doing it and shit. And I get it. They want to Saudi Arabia that shit and cloaked their fucking, you know, women in, you know, fucking full neck to leg gear, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. But Shelly loves seeing Kalise on the ring. I mean, fucking eggs. Imagine fucking throwing someone around the ring.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways.
So we had a four corner scramble. Right.
I love what you guys do. I love how like, I say something that's clever, and instead of being like, you know, I agree with it, you just throw that, well, all right, let's move on. Like, what's your rush, bro? We got time. All right.
I agree.
That's the name of the show, by the way. That's the name of this episode. Well, all right. That's the name of it. There we go.
All right, all right.
Okay, McConaughey, let's go.
So, we had a four-corner scramble for the junior heavyweight title. Nick Diamond defended his junior heavyweight title against competitors he did not know were going to be in the match.
Yeah, so they didn't announce it until they came out?
Right.
Perfect. God, how would that work out?
So the participants were TP3, Kenny Nye, who's not related to Johnny Nye, Motivation Mike, and Muggsy James, who I am sporting the shirt of. Muggsy James.
Solid. Solid. Nice. Is that available at RussellTees.com?
I don't know.
Muggsy, let us know we can buy your shit.
I bought it off of him, you know, physically, so.
Gotcha. Which is the best way to do it, you know. The money goes directly to them. I know a lot of those websites, you know, like when you buy something, that portion goes to the guy, like 80% goes to the company, which I get, you know, they do the shipping and all that and blah, 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 and everything. But to buy it right from the guy, fucking solid. Which show?
At IPW.
Solid.
I bought it from him yesterday.
Solid. Let me see one more time.
Bugsy.
Fuck it. Fucking solid, dude. Fucking look at that guy. God, so angry. Perfect.
And it was his birthday yesterday, too. So we had
Happy 24th birthday. Wow, the fuck old you are. I know you're a kid.
We had cupcakes via the Sweet Treat Goddess.
I could have gone for a cupcake.
There were plenty.
God, okay. Anyways, okay, so Muggsy was in the four corner along with non-Johnny Nye and DP3.
And Motivation Mike.
And Motivation Mike. Wait, is that five people?
Yep.
Okay, crush it. Okay.
Nick Diamond ended up retaining, and Chet was in shambles.
Well, fucking Chet should realize fucking he can't outshine the Diamond, you know? Heard that time or two.
If he would just stop saying that Nick Diamond's opponent is going to win and say it the other way, maybe he'll lose.
Maybe. I mean, he did say James Creed was going to get his title back, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
He says Nick Diamond sucks, and yet Nick Diamond is a champion now in IPW, but also in ARW. So, yeah, he wrestles at Rocket Pro, so dude gets around. So clearly they want to book him for a reason. So, yep. Sorry your feelings get hurt that he keeps winning, but, you know, it's just... as LA Knight says, it's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So next, we had Damian Gray taking on Corey McHenry, with Jay Thunder as the special guest referee.
Now, why was that? Why was Jay Thunder involved at all?
So, it turns out IPW is having a little issue keeping referees, like mainstay referees. So they have to use the wrestlers.
Okay. Well, most of the referees are becoming wrestlers.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
The match went to a double countout, however, after Gray left with the title and Corey went to go after him. Then we had Quinn Whittick taking on Christian Van Colt.
I didn't see the image, but that's the referee, right?
Yeah, yep.
Gotcha, okay. Cool.
Christian did beat Quinn.
That's fucking huge.
It is. Then after the match, Quinn tells Christian to stay in the ring. Quinn comes back with beer and acknowledges that they are brothers. Acknowledge. Yeah. And says that I'm mom's best looking kid, but today you are the best wrestler.
No, which is awesome. You know, it's like, because when you look at, like, Quinn Whittick, like, frontline Quinn Whittick, former champion, Rocket Pro Quinn Whittick, former champion. You know, he has that that ego to him, which he, you know, he deserves it. He earns that ego. You know, he's, you know, IPW, you kind of get a different Quinn. You know, I mean, when you look at the things he did for Kid Lat, you know, he had that match with Quinn, or Kid Lat, not Quinn Lat, fucking name. Solid tag team name, though. Kid Lat, you know, I think he was Kid Lat's first match at IPW, you know, too.
Yep.
Well, I guess he wasn't his brother's first match because his brother was in the tournament last week, but Quinn's a good fucking dude, you know, regardless of, you know, his frustrations at Rocket Pro because, you know, his title's being held by somebody else. But, I mean, I think that's pretty cool that he acknowledged him, and they shared a beer in the ring, and that's awesome. So congratulations to Christian for picking up a solid win against, you know, a former champion and, you know, I guess your brother, so. I wouldn't say Quinn's the better looking kid, though. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep doing that until you move on. Yeah.
All right. We'll just have to ask their mom next time.
I would. But the thing is, like, if I have a conversation with their mother will also think I'm an amazing person. Like Pac-Man's mom, who now, you know, likes to check on me and make sure I'm eating right and I'm doing good. So, hey, Pac-Man's mom, hope everything's going well.
All right.
So,
we had the Second City title.
This is the 2 out of 3 fall?
2 out of 3 falls. The champion, D'Angelo Steele, took on Joey Dalton, who was kind of a mix of Sting and the Ultimate Warrior. He had the face paint.
Who did? Dalton?
Joey Dalton, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen him have paint or anything before.
I don't think I ever had. This was a special occasion.
Good for him.
Rene Van Peebles was the ref for the first fall. You ever see a ref wear pink?
No, but you know what? They should more.
Referee shirt and pink pants.
If we ever get our own wrestling company started up, the weekend of Mother's Day, if we put a show on, our referees will wear pink stripes.
I like that idea.
Yeah. And also maybe during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I think so too. Yeah. Maybe Valentine's Day as well. Yeah. It'll be a lot of pink. Yeah. I think we'll do a lot of pink. Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I think we'll do straight, like solid pink shirts, because I also think I want my referees to be wearing the, like, WCW, like, blue shirts, not the, you know, stripes. I think stripes are too much. Ooh, maybe just solid black polos. What did Elite Pro use? What did you guys wear?
So, in the beginning of Elite Pro, they had the white polos.
Okay, yeah.
Then we switched to the black polos with the E on it.
Yeah, I like polos. I like the polo ideas. I mean, obviously, you know, referee shirts got collars on it. But then the zebra stripes are a little too overused. I mean, granted, it's traditional sometimes and everything. But, you know, I think we go polos. I think we do polos at our JFW company. I think polos.
I still have mine.
Do you?
My black polo. I think it's hanging up somewhere.
You should wear that one day.
I will.
Fuck yeah.
I wore it, almost 10 years ago at a surprise birthday party for Sin.
Do you ever wear it at all, or you just have it and it kind of just sits?
It just sits.
See, what I would do if I were you, I would take that polo, because you said it's all black, right?
Yeah.
I would take that and get like a silver permanent marker and take it to shows with you. And when you find guys who are part of Elite Pro, have them sign it. Like C-Red, Marshall Rocket, the guy that's out at ARW, Jake O'Neill, yeah. You know, like Paulie and, you know, Nolan. And I would just say, hey, guys, you know, can you sign this real quick for me and everything? And then, like, you know, have them do it on the front, and whenever it's all done or you think it's filled up enough, then you can, like, frame it and put it up in, like, an office or some shit. You know, if you don't wear it. If you don't wear it, it just sits there. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, real quick, can you sign this for me real quick? And yeah, just get like a silver marker to sign with and everything. That'd be pretty cool.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. I gotta see if my brother still has that LWF signed hat. Actually, no, I think I might have that signed hat. I'll have to check. I think I have a red hat that's signed by a bunch of LWF guys that were at a birthday party for Nolan's cool girlfriend at the time, Jessica from LWF. I think it was a birthday party for her, and all the LWF guys were there, and my brother had this red hat that everyone signed. I think I ended up with it. I think I might know where it's at. I'll have to find it. I'll look when we're done recording. But anyways, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, good for Christian. Anyways, 2 out of 3 falls. No, I've never seen a referee wear pink.
So. Well, Renee Van Peebles did it, and she did it well.
Awesome. What was the first fall?
It was a tables match chosen by Joey Dalton.
Okay, because D'Angelo Steele never announced his pick, right? Joey Dalton did.
Right.
Okay, cool.
So it was a tables match as Joey Dalton called out for Rion and said, Rion, get the table.
Did he push him in the chest and shit?
No, that part didn't happen. Rion was by the bell, and
gotcha.
Joey was in the ring, and there's Rion doing Rion walk, going to get the table. Well, he couldn't find a table. He had to get a door. Found the door, just laying around.
No, close enough, I guess.
So, Joey Dalton ended up getting put through the door himself. By D'Angelo Steele. Not once, but twice.
Did it not break the first time?
It broke in pieces. Ah. Like, the bottom half of it broke. Mm-hmm. And then more of the bottom half broke after that. If they would have kept doing it, it would have been like, doo, 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 like that. So essentially, D'Angelo Steele wins the first fall.
Okay.
So, he calls for the second ref to come out to equal the referee, Adonis Allen, came out for the second fall. And D'Angelo Steele said he wanted a handicap match. So he would have a partner, right?
Okay.
Now, earlier we were wondering why Rachel wasn't out there with him. Well, we found out that Rachel was the tag team partner.
The championship belt.
Yes.
Oh, Pac-Man's post makes so much more sense now. God
dang. And it does because, hey, I rhymed. How about that? After Joey Dalton took out Steele, knocked him out of the ring, Dalton seed the belt, just laying there. Body slammed it. Body slammed her, Rachel, and then gave Rachel a leg drop, pinned her, and hooked the leg, literally, like so. And pinned Rachel. Now, people are going to wonder, well, why did he pin the belt? Yeah. Well, legally speaking, Rachel, the title, became a participant in the match.
Now, let me ask this question, though. So, when he pinned it, was the plate of the championship, so the faceplate, was it up or down?
Down.
So, is it technically pinned then? Because wouldn't it be face down?
Now I'm starting to wonder what happened.
That's what I'm curious about. I was like, so is the faceplate up or down? Because the faceplate went down. Is that technically pinned then?
Well, it's harder to hook the leg, if you will, if the faceplate was up.
I mean, I get it, but what's technically the front and the back of a title belt?
That's not pretty officials to think about.
Yeah, we're going to I guess something to ask on Tuesday. I'm going to need answers. I'm going to need answers from Rian.
Yeah. Well, either way, the belt was pinned. Referee sounded.
Referee's decision's final. I get it.
Yep. So it's 1-1. So then the third fall, which was officially made prior to the show, that would be a last man standing match no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany Kay was the referee for the last fall. After repeatedly hitting Steele with the title, Joey Dalton got the win and became the new Second City champion.
Good for him. That's pretty awesome. That was a long fucking time for him to try to, because it's been a few months now that he's been having his issue with Steele.
Yeah. I was kind of in the middle, if you will, at the time when everything started to come together. I was in the middle of it because I think I was in a fatal four-way or a triple threat involving those two.
I believe that.
And then Steele tried to fight me after the match, but it didn't work out for him. The next show will be April 28th with a special start time of 6 p.m.
Yeah, why?
There is a fundraiser. And okay. I unfortunately cannot go to that because it's the last night of bowling.
So it's a 6 p.m. show, but it's still on Sunday.
Still on Sunday.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, that's cool. Maybe I'll go to that. Maybe I'll take the Monday off and go to that. I might go to that.
Where have I heard that before?
Who fucking knows? Probably for some fucking idiot who likes to fucking, quote other people who say things. Talk about Pac-Man. Pac-Man is the idiot who quotes other people. Not Bill Shelley. Bill Shelley's not an idiot. Bill Shelley is a smart guy who found an opportunity to grow a good business in a market that, you know, needed professional wrestling. Pac-Man's the idiot, so. No one fucking clipped that and say I called Bill Shelley an idiot, even though that probably just get clipped right there anyway. So.
Yep. All right. While you get set up.
All right.
You look at Bugsy while I blow my nose.
Man, look at that guy. That guy looks like the kind of guy who's about to get married. That guy looks like the guy who currently holds a championship over at ARW. That looks like the kind of guy who's a full, you know, fledged member of the family now.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's true.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Mr. Bill Classic was this past Saturday. Packed house. Ended up being standing room only. Which is solid. I was able to do commentary from the third balcony, which initially I thought it was from the second balcony, but decided to move us up into the third balcony, which in all honesty was a little bit difficult to commentate from, but at the same time, it was pretty fantastic. There were leather couches and stuff to kind of sit out there and recline on. Granted, I didn't get to utilize a lot of it because there was no intermission. So I was pretty much standing and working the entire time. I did get a chance to commentate with not only Gino Latino on a couple matches, but also Richard T. Sin from the Witty City came into some guest commentary with us. And there was one match, we'll talk about here, about the Turbos, that I asked Richard T. Sin, hey, sir, do you mind taking my spot for a minute so I can kind of take a break? I was coming off of bronchitis and talking nonstop for hours on end really didn't work for me, and unfortunately my inhaler ran out halfway through the show, but luckily he was able to come in and save the day for me. Solid dude. He actually wants to be interviewed by me. So he made a good point when I was talking to him. He asked me, because I was wearing my JFW shirt. He's like, oh, what promotion do you work for? I'm like, oh no, this is a podcast. He's like, oh my God, this is my podcast. I do it with the Amazing Turtle, and I do it with PX. You know, I'm trying to throw out the legit name, so you got, you know, if he hears, he knows. And I think this was like right before you came up, or yeah, somewhere around there. You popped up before the show started. He's like, oh, do you, like, do interviews and stuff? I'm like, you know, it's time to time. I just interviewed C-Red on a four-and-a-half-hour, four-part series. And he's like, you got, like, a business card? I'm like, dude, I do have business cards. I just never take them with me. So I'm going to start taking them with me so I can hand them out to people.
I still have mine in my bag.
Yeah, I got to get Pac-Man some. But, yeah, I just got to have some cards and pass them out to people. But solid, dude. I made a joke that he was my dad because he was Richard T. Sin. The T doesn't really stand for anything. I'm like, dude, neither does the T in travesty. It's just travesty. He's like, dude, that's a clever fucking name. I'm like, I know it is. I came up with it. Well, I did. My buddy came up with it. But regardless. Anyways. Mr. Bill Classic.
Fun fact about Richard T. Sin.
Yes.
I learned yesterday that I've been friends with him on Facebook for a while. Didn't even know it.
Dude looked at me like, you know, I was speaking Chinese to him when I was telling him to record on Skype, so I didn't even know dude had a Facebook. But, hey, solid. But the Bill Classic did happen this past weekend, paying tribute to Bill Robinette, a longtime announcer for not only Windy City, but he was also in Dead AF. He was a Santa for the city of Chicago, Santa for Barack Obama. Solid dude. I did an entire interview about this show with Hunter Payne and Terry Allen, couple weeks ago. Make sure you check that out. It was really cool. So I do got the match cards. The only thing I do not have is because it was the Mr. Bill Classic, I gave up my booking for the most part. I did set title match just because, why not throw a fucking curveball at Freiburg from time to time? But CSW wanted to get some of their up-and-comers on the card, so they made a tag team match. Unfortunately, I did not catch the names of the guys who were on that tag match. You'll have to check them out when they get released on the...
I do.
Okay, awesome. Can you tell me who they were?
So you get Sam Eli teaming up with KJ Carter.
Okay.
With, I think they faced each other.
Anyways, go on, sorry.
No, that, I don't think so. No, that was Sheik and KJ Carter.
No, I think there was a. I'm thinking of a Lizard Man and maybe KJ Carter, Sammy Light. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, go on. I'm sorry.
So it was those two with Big Business Levi in their corner, idiot, taking on the Valor Brothers.
Okay. Well, there you go. Thank you, Nubby. I guess it pays to have someone who works at CSW here with me. So thank you. Appreciate that. Freiberg did retain his title, obviously, in a shady way. He definitely cheated to retain the title, but he almost lost it in an unfair way, which I don't know why Omar would come and, correct it. We could have had a new champion, could have had it off Freiberg, but I get it. Omar has to do his duties as a referee, but, you can check out the High Voltage when it's released. I believe it'll probably be the end of April when High Voltage shows will be released. Check out us out the Championship Wrestling YouTube channel. Okay, let's go through these matches here. So match one was an 8-team six-man tag elimination match. We had team one, which was CSW. It was Lee Metalik, FXB, and Lizardman. Team SCW, which was Apex, Benny Vargas, and JPH. Team 3 was X-Con, Dazzling, Donnie Dynamite, and it was supposed to be Marco Cordova, but somebody else. I'm trying to remember who the hell was the third guy. Can't remember.
Willie.
Was it Willie Richardson?
I believe it was. Oh, Willie knocked out Donnie. Never mind.
Yeah, I was really medicated at this show, guys. So
there were so many people in that match.
There was a lot. I do know it wasn't Marco. Oh, Chi-Chi. I believe Chi-Chi was the third guy in that. No,
he was supposed to be, I think, but he wasn't there.
Okay, so maybe Marco Cordova replaced Chi-Chi.
Marco Cordova wasn't there either.
Somebody was with X-Con and Dazzling Donnie in that match. And for some reason, in my head, I want to say it was one of the Brotherhood, but I don't think it was. He dressed like he would be in the Brotherhood. I just can't remember his name. I don't know. Again, I was way up in the rafters. There was a little bit of a microphone technical difficulties. So I don't know who it is. If it's not on this paper, I don't fucking know who he is. So if you're listening out there to whoever it was, I apologize for not knowing who you were, but I was really medicated to get through the day. And I was also on a third balcony, and it's also not on the sheet. So, X-Con and Dazzling Donnie teamed with somebody in this match. Chi-Town Syndicate was the fourth team, with Chi-Town T, Hammer, and Willie the Bomb Richardson. So there we go, Willie was on Chi-Town. Team 5 was the Warlocks with Eric the Warlock, Curse, and Marco Rossi. Or Rosie, yep. I think it's Rossi. Is it Rossi? Okay. Team 6 was Mike Anthony, Damian Dunn, Chris Miller, being brought to the ring by Sandra D. Fucking best part of the show right there, Sandra fucking D, I'll tell you that much right now. She was the first person to give me a little bit of shit when I first got to the arena. And like, oh, you gotta go get your badge from Terry Allen. And I was like, okay, well, take me to his office. And lo and behold, he actually had a fucking office. I was just making a joke, but yeah, he had a fucking office. And Johnny Chaos was taking me there, and he stopped halfway through like a fucking idiot. It's like, dude, this is why you don't get booked for matches. Finish the job. Get me to where I need to be. So I'm trying to scooch through people. I'm like, excuse me, don't mean to bump into anybody. And she's like, sure you don't. I look over, I'm like, oh my God, Sandra D, what? Fucking A. I'm not going to say I'm her only fan, but I'm a fan. Let's see here. We got Killer Khalsa Singh, Frank the Tank Melson, and the Polish Crippler. Was Team 7, and then teammate was the Brotherhood, which consists of Ivan Manson, Snake Manson, and Scott Spade. Chi-Town Syndicate eliminated Pow. Team POW, the Warlocks eliminated Team SCW. Warlocks also eliminated Team CSW. who else? Somebody eliminated the Chi-Town Syndicate. They got eliminated. And then
two teams got counted out.
Two teams got counted out. It was, let's see, it was the team of
Chris Miller's team and somebody else.
Yeah, it was Miller's team, and then it was the, where was it? The Khalsa, the Singh Melson Crippler team. They fought to the back of a count out. Now, Hammer's team was pinned and eliminated, but Hammer stuck around. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it, but facts, it was there. You'll see it in the video. Don't get it. But he ended up helping the Brotherhood pick up a victory in the matchup, joining the Brotherhood that night, or being part of it. Maybe he was a member already, but somehow the Brotherhood fucking grew throughout the night. I don't understand it, but it happened.
They've always been a giant group.
Yeah, but you know what? When you first walk out and there's like six of you in like match one, and then when you get to the Battle Royal, there's a dozen of you. It's like, I'm sorry. The Brotherhood hasn't been a thing in like nearly two decades. How the fuck are you adding people? I don't get it, but it happened.
Were they as big as the Travis team?
I don't know. We got up to 22. It's possible. Honestly, it was really possible. It happened the same fucking way. Like, hey, you want to be in the Brotherhood? Yeah. Get in line. Let's go. It's fucking nutty. Match two was Terry Allen versus Steve Boz. First time they've been together in a match in nearly over two decades. The special referee for that match was Jason Rain, their former partner of, I think it was called Team Devastation. Solid match throughout. Terry ultimately picked up the win with a quick roll-up. Pinning Boz, Pins of Damages came out for some reason to attack him, and he got their ass handed to him. So, take that, Freiberg.
Idiot.
Match three, one of my favorite matches, was the women's six-woman tag match. On one side, we had the original Angel, Crystal, and the better Angel, or as I refer to as Angel 2.0, taking on Drusilla, you guys know her as Erica, RVP, and Lily La Pescadita from CSW. Special guest referee was this, is a former Windy City champion, women's champion, Sose. Solid match, they beat the shit out of each other. At one point, your buddy Miller showed up. Got his ass handed to him by Pescadita. I'm guessing because there's some CSW issues there. I think we've talked about that actually a couple times. Miller has an issue with women. Don't know what it is, but he tries to establish dominance and then gets his ass handed to him. So,
yeah.
Couple key spots in the night that I really enjoyed in this match. Pescadita dove through the middle ropes, knocked over Miller. Fucking awesome. And Angel picked up the win. So Angel 2.0 picked up the win. The only Angel, the current two-time SCW Women's Champion Angel, picked up the win for her team of the old Angel and Crystal. Which, you know what, Crystal, not that bad. I think she could probably still go a little bit.
She still does. She still does occasionally.
Does she? Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. I think everyone did what they needed to in there. You know, you got some of the people who, you know, who fucking crushed it, like Angel 2.0. Lily Pescadita, I would love to see them face each other in SCW one day. I think that'd be a solid match. I think this match gave Pescadita a great opportunity to get shown in a new market. As well, you know what, to stick her in a match with legends like that and the women who are currently running this Midwest division, like RVP and Angel. Fucking fantastic. Pescadita really did a great job. You know, she was my second favorite in this match, right below Angel 2.0 and then RVP. So, awesome. It was a great match. Match four was a fatal four-way. You had Masters with Gino Latino. You had Mercer, who is the Genesis champion. Schultz, who is the longest reigning Northland champion. And VJ Price, who has a shit ton of money that he won last month. Time limit draw. Nobody won, but a hell of a match. Really a fantastic showing for all guys involved. Match 5, Acid Jazz versus Koa Laksamana. Number one contendership for the Midwest Championship. It was supposed to be for the Midwest Championship, but Acid Jazz lost it out to Axel Rico. So this was to crown the number one contender. Acid Jazz was accompanied to the ring by C-Red. Laksamana was brought to the ring by Kaelis. We saw a different side of Koa. Apparently his attitude changed a little bit since the last time he was in Southland Championship Wrestling. Became more of a dick. Which is fine. Unfortunately, he did get disqualified. Kaelis interfered numerous times. Acid Jazz fought the best he could. Ultimately, Koa got disqualified. Acid Jazz took it to win. Acid Jazz is now the new number one contender for his title that I'm sure he's hoping trying to get back sometime soon. Number 6 was probably my second favorite match at the show. One, obviously, being the 6-woman tag team match because Angel 2.0 was in it. And because I'm a, you know, I'm a fan of everybody, not just Angel 2.0. So, Quintero and Anestruff went one-on-one for the, hold on, don't tell me, I know what this is. It is the CSW Metro Division title.
Yep.
Fucking fantastic, dude. Like, I'm sure they probably face each other at CSW at one point in time. Uh-huh. If they haven't, they fucking need to. But Anestruff, I'm not a big fan of his attitude, but I can see why he's champion. And when it comes to Quintero, I can see why he's up there for an opportunity for it. These dudes were fantastic. Quintero, with his gimmick and actually the way he wrestles in the ring, he reminds me of, who's the dude that just left the LWO now? And who's the dude on SmackDown? Long hair. He leads the, Fantasma, Santos Escobar. His gimmick reminds me a lot of Santos Escobar, and that was really fucking good. Like, these guys are absolutely fantastic. And, they put on one hell of a show, one hell of a match. And, I remember talking about it in the interview with Tyrion and Hunter Payne. These people, Pascadita, Anestruff, Quintero, even, you know, the team CSW and the big 18 tag, the tag teams that are on High Voltage, like, these guys obviously making names for themselves up in CSW. But when you come down to Kankakee, it's a whole different area, a whole different territory. And, I mean, SCW loved these matches. Like, you could hear it in the crowd and stuff. And I think they definitely made a point that, like, hey, you know, we need to get these guys more down here. Absolutely, 100%. Anestruff retained his title. Match 7 was the Brotherhood versus the Turbos. Turbo Lover is actually one of my favorite fucking songs. Fantastic song. The Brotherhood, Terry Allen teamed with somebody. I can't remember who the hell he teamed with. Snake? No, not Snake. Who the hell did he team with? Who's the guy? Who's the guy that Terry teamed with?
Good question. I don't remember.
He's the one that retired at the end of the night. He officially retired. I just can't remember which Manson he was.
Oh, Ripper?
Ripper Manson. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I kept wanting to say Psycho, but Psycho was the one that was outside the ring. So, yeah, Ripper. So, Terry and Ripper formed, you know, they were the Brotherhood guys. So, Terry joined the Brotherhood, you know, by match 7. Took on the Turbos. Terry and the Brotherhood picked up the victory over the Turbos. But it was a solid match overall. Oh, I forgot to mention, Acid Jazz brought out the old Windy City Light Heavyweight Championship. I believe the Turbos had the Windy City Tag Championships. I'm not quite sure. What were they?
They were the WWZ Tag Team Champions.
Oh, okay. My bad. And then Ripper had a title, but I wasn't quite sure what title he had. Match 8, three-way dance, whatever you want to call it, triple threat, Mulligan, Marche Rocket, James Creed for the SCW Heavyweight Championship. At the very beginning, Mulligan's liquor went missing. For those of you who are paying attention, Creed hit it If you really struggle to get through a match without alcohol, and you have to run down to a bar to grab a new one, that's called a problem. You should probably get fucking checked. But that's exactly what Mulligan did. Mulligan ran away. He's like, I gotta go to Flanagan's. And he did, and he came back with a beer. Solid fucking matchup. Creed did end up picking the victory up. I think Mulligan almost won, but Creed, hit the elbow drop out of nowhere. Got the pin, picked the victory. Creed and Mulligan kind of had an altercation in the middle of the ring where Terry tried to come out and, stop it. Keep in mind, Terry is the guy who's no longer president of SCW because of, Creed's champion because of that. And what does Terry get for his problems? He gets punched in the mouth. So Creed punched Terry right in the face after Terry gave up his job for him, socked him right in the mouth. This automatically started the Battle Royal, and I did not get a sheet of paper for the Battle Royal, so I can't tell you exactly what happened or who all was in it. I know Turtle was in it. I know he came to the ring with, Tommy. You guys, right? Yeah. You guys eliminated fucking Freiberg, got a little retribution there.
And Eric Schultz.
Watch video for them. And Eric Schultz. You almost got eliminated by, the Iron Mike Sanson, but you're able to hold your own and prevent the fucking, elimination. I think eventually you were eliminated by DOC quite aggressively. I got scared for you, but, you came out unscathed. Thank God. Sanson, tore through some people, started throwing people out, people getting eliminated. I saw, D'Angelo Steele, he was in the Battle Royal, so he made an appearance.
I almost threw him out, but wasn't enough.
So I saw that. C-Red eliminated himself because the Brotherhood came out in the very end as an entire fucking pack. He eliminated himself, ran around the ring, kissed Cheeks Manson, and then ran out. So, hey, man. Props to you. Bonanza was there, Benny Bargus was there, JPH was there, basically everybody was fucking in there. The Turbos were in there together. At the end, it came down to basically the Brotherhood and Mr. Bill's son all in the ring. The Brotherhood handed him, I think it was Ripper, handed him the kendo stick. They all eliminated themselves. What looked like Mr. Robinette's, I want to say his name is Tim. I believe this is, Tim, right? Okay. For some reason, I kept thinking Tom. So if I am wrong, somebody correct me. But Tim Robinette appeared to be the winner. Waldo fucking came out of nowhere. Because if you're not looking for him, you're not going to find him. And no one was looking for him. So Waldo tried to eliminate Robinette. Robinette was able to avoid it. Candlestick Waldo a bit. Toss him out. And Mr. Bill's son won the Mr. Bill Battle Royal. Picking up the victory at the very end. All in all, it was awesome. I know we got a chance to go to Flanagan's after the show, and we sat with Pac-Man and Gabagool, and Gabagool got to talk about how much he loved it. Pac-Man talked about how much he enjoyed it. I had fun commentating it, and the venue is fantastic. I believe we're back there. I want to say May is April.
That
I don't is know. That is
the plan.
Is May the plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be every other month from here on out.
Yeah, so they'll be back in May. I'm excited. I hope the turnout is the same because wrestling deserves to have crowds like that every single time. So if you guys missed it, the videos for it will be released over the next few weeks, available over on the Southland Championship YouTube channel. So make sure you head over there and check them out. Nubby, you want to add anything from the Mr. Bill show? Anything that I may have missed that you know about that you want to share with everyone? Or
I believe you covered it all. Loved the show. It was cool to see two members of my bowling team there. So that was cool.
Explain to me how the locker room works.
So, there were essentially three rooms, but two of them were upstairs, and the women's locker room was actually in the ice cream shop.
Oh.
So they got to have ice cream, and we didn't.
Monsters.
Yep.
All right. Because I heard originally what I thought, what I heard was, is that the locker room was going to be downstairs, and then there's going to be like a dumb waiter taking you guys up through the hall or through the alley into back into the building. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of fucking work. It was a really cool event. Because of dealing with bronchitis and because of the difficulty breathing and shit, I avoided going up and down the stairs as much as possible because it was just the hell to do. So I didn't get to enjoy the bar. I didn't go to concessions. Flanagan's was nice, but I've kind of been on a non-drinking kick lately, not because I have a problem, just because I just, not interested in it. But the venue's fantastic. Flanagan's was fantastic. Overall, everything was great, and I look forward to being back there in May for that show. And I do believe that show's the 25th. And, no, it's the week before. Wait. I'll find out. I don't fucking know. It's called Hangover. I know that.
Oh, for April?
April's a Hangover.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. What do I know? I'm still a little bit medicated. Anyways, it's in May. If it is the 25th, it's the weekend of my birthday. So I'll take it as a birthday gift to me. But SCW will be back in Shabance in April at SCW Hangover. Check out the Southland Championship Wrestling Facebook page for information on that. And I'm interested to see the outcome or the fallout from the Mulligan Creed issues. Also, the fact that Creed punched Terry Allen in the face. So, man. Well, Nubby, we did it in an hour and a half, buddy.
We did.
We crushed it. You got anything else wrestling related you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered it all for today.
Perfect. Reminder, guys, Nubby and Dizzle J will all be together on Saturday. We'll be covering WrestleMania match cards and the Stand Deliver match card. We'll probably recap the Hall of Fame that will be happening on Friday, as well as the go-home shows of Raw and NXT and SmackDown as well. We'll be doing that Friday. There will not be an independent JF.
So yeah. The Hall of Fame is a week before WrestleMania this year?
Oh, that's right. No, we're doing the fucking... No, it's not. No, never mind. So we won't. Okay, so we'll talk about the Hall of Fame. Like, who's inducted. I do. My fucking weekends are all fucking messed up. Okay. So the Hall of Fame's next Friday. So is WrestleMania's next weekend. So... We will recap who's being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And we will recap the match cards and all that shit. Yeah. I don't know what I'm fucking doing anymore. I lost my train of thought. What are we doing? What am I doing, Nubby? I don't even know anymore. Fucking A. See, this one, I need Pac-Man here to fucking yell at. Gets me fucking back online.
So we are covering WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame.
This Saturday.
This week
before. Okay. So, this Saturday, we'll go over the match cards for NXT and WrestleMania. We'll go over the inductees into the Hall of Fame. And we will not have a show next Monday. So, yeah. So, we'll take a little break and everything. So, in the meantime, make sure you watch all of our shit that's on YouTube. Like I said, I did a 4-part interview with C-Red. It was fantastic. Make sure you go check that out. I had a chance to talk with Ivan this past weekend about his interview that I'll be doing in April, so we're getting that scheduled, and we're going to do that following ARW's show, because I'm curious on what happens at that show from the backlash of what happened this past show. So I will have Ivan, and that will be an exclusive on YouTube, just like C-Red's is, and you can find that over at the JFW Podcast YouTube channel. So make sure you do that, and you can listen to you can watch the videos of our podcast there, or you can see the audio, or listen to, I'm fucking done. You can watch the video podcast at JFW Podcast on YouTube, or you can listen to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, at iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts will probably be gone in a week, so it'll be Amazon Music, whatever, or YouTube Music, but we're also on Amazon Music too. So wherever you listen to podcasts, or just Google search Joe's Freaking Wrestling Podcast, and whatever pops up, just subscribe to that one. It's fine. But make sure you subscribe to YouTube so you can watch us and watch me fucking fumble this shit that I've been doing for almost a decade, and somehow it's, well, here we are. Nubby, that's all I got.
I believe we can ring the bell on this episode.
Perfect. As always, I am Travis.
And I am Nubby, the Amazing Turtle, Cowabunga.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Just Freaking Wrestling, the JFW Podcast.